In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you would have been a believer in Jeremiah's day, what would you have learned about the new covenant that Yahweh promised through Jeremiah? You could have observed that this passage was a very significant one because of the fourfold use of the Hebrew words Ne'um Yahweh, the utterance, the proclamation, the announcement, the pronouncement of Yahweh. You could have determined that many of the components or ingredients of the new covenant would be similar to those of the old covenant. According to verse 31, Yahweh promised to establish a new covenant. The establishing of a covenant was not new. Yahweh was the initiator of numerous covenants prior to Jeremiah's day. God made a perpetual covenant with Noah after the flood. He placed a rainbow in the clouds as a sign of this covenant. God promised that when he, God, saw a rainbow, he would remember his promise that he would never again send a universal flood on the earth. Yahweh made a covenant with Abram that through him, families of the earth would be blessed, making what we call a messianic promise. Yahweh said that in establishing a new covenant, he would write his law, his teaching on people's minds and hearts. This was also not new. There were believers, God-fearers, from almost the beginning of time. Abel, Abraham, Noah, Moses, just to name a few. King David prayed, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me." The words, "and I will be their God, and they shall be my people," echo the words God used in establishing the covenant that the people broke. Even Yahweh's promise, "I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more," was not new. After the prophet Nathan had confronted David, after David's affair with Bathsheba, in the dialogue that followed, David confessed, "I have disobeyed Yahweh." Nathan responded, "He, Yahweh, has forgiven you." The hearer or reader of the passage in Jeremiah's day would have realized that the new covenant referred to in Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34, would not have immediate effect or immediate implementation. The believer would have learned this from two references in the text. "The days are surely coming," and "after those days." Fortunately for us, we can learn the significance of the New Covenant from the so-called New Testament. The sign of the New Covenant is God himself in the person of Jesus Christ, the God-man. God's Son, as we review it, particularly during the period of passion, God's Son lived a perfect life, suffered, shed his precious blood on the cross, died and was buried, that he might obtain for us and for all people forgiveness of sins. He rose from the dead on the first Easter to indicate that he had gained eternal life for us and for all believers. A vital part of the new covenant is holy baptism. In the case of those of us who were baptized as infants, in holy baptism the Holy Spirit came to us through the water and the word. He brought to us Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sins, spiritual and eternal life. In the case of those of us brought to faith through the word of God, through the law and gospel prior to baptism, the Holy Spirit through holy baptism has sealed and guaranteed spiritual eternal life under the new covenant. The Lord Jesus himself, in instituting his Holy Supper, said, according to St. Matthew, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." St. Luke's version of the Lord's Supper includes the words, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." We together with all believers in Jesus Christ realize that there are still blessings yet to come. We anticipate the final consummation of the new covenant when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ returns as victor and king. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.